Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 84, The Sage's Teachings at Kurukshetra, Text 60 through 64. Yes. We can chant the first one responsively. The word meanings, Vasudevaha, Vasudeva, Anjasa, easily, Uttirya, having crossed over, Manaratha, of his desires, to perform Vedic sacrificing. Maha, great, Arnavam, the ocean, Surit, by his well-wishers, Urittaha, surrounded, Prita, pleased, Manaha, in his mind, Nandam, to Nanda, Aha, he spoke, Kare, his hand, Sprisham, touching. Vasudevam jasottirya manorata maharnavam suribhita pritamana nandamaha karesprisham vasudevam jasottirya Manorata Maharnavam Suridvrita Pritamana Nandamaha Karesprisham Vasudevam Jasottirya Manorata Maharnavam Suridvrita Pritamana Nandamaha Karesprisham
Vasudevam Jasottirya Manorata Mahanavam Manorata Maharnavam Suridvrita Pritamana Nandamaha Karesprisham Vasudevam Jasottirya Manorata Maharnavam Suridvrita Pritamana Nandamaha Parishprisham Vasudevam Jasottirya Manorata Maharnavam Suridvrita Pritamana Nandamaha Parisprisham Vasudevam Jasottirya Manorata Maharnavam Suridvrita Pritamana Nandamaha Karesprisham
Translation. Having so easily crossed over the vast ocean of his ambition, Vasudeva felt fully satisfied. In the company of his many well-wishers, he took Nanda Maharaj by the hand and addressed him as follows. We can chant together.
Sri Vasudeva Uvacha Bratarisha Krita Pasho Nrinanya Sneha Sangitaha Tandushya Jamaham Manye Shranam Api Yoginam.
Sri Vasudeva said, "My dear brother, God Himself has tied the knot of affection, which tightly binds human beings together. It seems to me that even great heroes and mystics find it very difficult to free themselves from it." Purport. Heroic leaders of men try to transcend their petty attachments by force of will, while introspective yogis pursue knowledge for the same purpose. But the Lord's illusory energy, Maya, is much stronger than any conditioned soul. Only by taking shelter of Krishna, the Lord of Maya, can one become immune to her influence.
Asmasva pratikalpyayam yat kritanjeshu sattamai maitriarpita phalakshapi na nivarteta kardhichit.
Indeed, the Supreme Lord must have created the bonds of affection. For such exalted saints as you have never stopped showing matchless friendship toward us ingrates, although it has never been properly reciprocated.
Pragakopascha kushalam bhraturvo nacharamahi adhuna srimadan haksha napasyama purasata.
Previously, dear brother, we did nothing to benefit you because we were unable to. Yet even now that you are present before us, our eyes are so blinded by the intoxication of material good fortune that we continue to ignore you. Purport. While living under the tyranny of Kamsa, Vasudeva was unable to do anything to help Nanda and his subjects defend themselves against the many demons sent from Mathura to kill Krishna and Balaram.
Maharaja Shri Rabut Pungsa Shreyas Kamasya Manada Swajanan Uta Bandhum Va Napasyati Yayandhadrik.
O most respectful one, may a person who wants the highest benefit in life never gain kingly opulence, for it leaves him blind to the needs of his own family and friends. Purport. It is, of course, out of deep humility that Vasudeva is berating himself, but his condemnation of opulence is in general valid. Earlier in this canto, Narada Muni delivered a stinging criticism of Nala Kuvera and Manigriva, two wealthy sons of Kuvera, the treasurer of heaven. Intoxicated by both pride and liquor, the two had failed to offer proper respects to Narada when he happened upon them as they sported naked in the Mandakini River with some young women. Seeing them in their shameful condition, Narada said, Na hyanyo jushato joshyan budhi brangsho rajo guna srimadad abhijhatyadir yatra stri dhyutam asavaha.
Among all the attractions of material enjoyment, the attraction of riches bewilders one's intelligence more than having beautiful bodily features, taking birth in an aristocratic family, and being learned. When one is uneducated but falsely puffed up by wealth, the result is that one engages his wealth in enjoying wine, women, and gambling. Bhagavatam 10.10.8.
Om jnana timirandhasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshuran miritam mena tasmai shri gurave namaha
We'll go through these verses again, one at a time. So first we hear, interesting statement, which I'm not quite sure I understand. Vasudev, having so easily crossed over the vast ocean of his ambition, Vasudev felt fully satisfied. I'm wondering about this metaphor here. It says, why his desires, his manavata of his desires, and then in parentheses it says to perform Vedic sacrifice, they're compared to, those desires are compared to a great ocean. So that seems a little, I'm not quite sure what to make of that. Seems like, usually you talk about desires, it means, well, I have an ocean of desires, but they're not for something good, like performing a Vedic sacrifice. But his desire to perform the Vedic sacrifice is called an ocean of desire. So maybe some of you have some insight into that, but I can't quite figure out what the purpose of the analogy is. So he was accompanied by his many wealth. Now, we just heard about his sacrifice. It was nicely done. Another question I have is, why so much attention on Vasudev here? Because he's not, he doesn't have any position, actually, does he? He's not the king of anything, right? He lives in Dwarka, but Krishna basically rules, but Ugrasena is really the king. So Vasudev is there. So it seems like it's just because he's Krishna's parents. Just because. Just because he's Krishna's parents, it seems that he's getting all the attention here. He's the one who's officiating, or, you know, putting on the, what is it called, the yajamana. He's causing the sacrifice to be performed. It's because of his desire. So we're hearing all this about Vasudeva here. But technically, he doesn't have an official position as a king. So all his well-wishers are there. And he took the hand of Nanda. Now this phrase here, kare sprishan, which literally means, kare means hand and sprishan means touching. So I'm pretty sure this is the same phrase that's in the second canto where it says that Lord Vishnu shook hands with Brahma. It's the same phrase actually. Touched him with his hand. Of course we know that when you touch someone with your hand, often you touch their hand. That's how you touch with your hand. You touch each other's hand. You shake hands. So it used to be, that's how Prabhupada got that idea. He shook hands. But the literal translation is just, he touched him with his hand. And in fact, in the, I think it's in the purport, doesn't it say, it says he took Nanda by the hand. So he touched his hand and took him by the hand. So that we can picture, we can see in the context, as he's speaking to Nanda and, you know, he reaches out his hand, he takes him by the hand, and then he's going to speak to him confidentially. So we have this nice exchange going on here. Of course, Nanda and Vasudev, they're just bosom buddies. They're more than buddies. They're heart-to-heart friends. Very, very close. In fact, there's some relationship, right? How does it work? Their father married a Vaishya girl, and Nanda was born of the Vaishya girl, and their father also married a Kshatriya girl, and Vasudev was born of the Kshatriya girl. So they have the same father. They're stepbrothers, in other words. So that's one reason why they're so close. And Nanda's living like a Vaishya. That's why Krishna gets to live as both too, because he can say as a father on one side who's a Vaishya and a father on another side who's a Kshatriya. So early in his life he's a Vaishya and later in his life he's a Kshatriya. What is that? In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that astrologer did Lord Chaitanya's chart. What did he say? What did he say Lord Chaitanya was in his last life? Did he say he was a Brahmin? Or? Anyway, Lord Chaitanya said, no, as far as I remember, I was a Vaishya in my last life. So he was Krishna, of course, as a Vaishya, and then later as a Kshatriya. And then Shishupala said, we don't know what you are. Nobody can figure out what caste you belong to. So anyway, we're very close friends, so Nanda Maharaj and Vasudeva are going to speak. So Vasudeva says, my dear brother, God himself has tied the knot called affection, which tightly binds human beings together. It seems to me that even great heroes and mystics find it very difficult to free themselves from it. So this is also, you think, is a little curious because, well, there's nothing wrong with the bond between Nanda and Vasudev. It's tying their hearts together, of course. It's about love between devotees of Krishna. It's the deepest, purest, most intimate, most wonderful, glorious affection. But Vasudev is here speaking philosophy. When you read the first sentence, think, oh, it's okay. Krishna created this bond of affection between Nanda, or the Supreme Lord. Actually, the word is Isha here, I think. Yes, Isha. Isha Krita. This was created by Isha Kruta, and Kruta means made. So this bond must have been made by God because it's so strong. If God ties a knot, then it's going to be pretty strong. So he's saying the knots of affection are so strong that then it says two kinds of people try to break those bonds. So then we get the idea, well, he's talking about material bonds of affection. So there are two different approaches here. The great heroes, Shuranam is the Sanskrit. Shuranam means the heroes, and Yoginam. So the heroes, probably this refers to Kshatriyas. They're generally referred to as the heroes. They're heroic. Shorya actually is one of the qualities of the Shoryam Tejo Tatir Daksham Yudhe Chapya Palayanam. The first quality of Kshatriyas is heroism. So the heroes, when they have a task, or the Kshatriyas, when they have a task, then they think how much strength they have and how much determination and willpower they have. So that's how they're going to tackle the problem. That's what they have at their disposal. That quality, that talent, that they can really be determined and strong and powerful and conquer it in that way. So that's their approach. They think we're going to break off attachment. Now in the purport here, this seems to imply that it's not just attachment to other people, that affection, although the word in the Sanskrit here is sneha. Sneha means affection. Sneha pashami imam chindi. This is the same word that Kunti Devi uses when she prays to Krishna to break her tie of affection. Sneha pasham, the knot of sneha, imam chindi, please cut it, cut that knot of attachment, Pandushu Vishnishu for the Pandus and the Vishnis. So the word is sneha here is used. Now Prabhupada talks about sneha in one place, or a couple of places. He gives it, he says especially it's generally used between like parents and children, because one meaning of sneha is oil. And he says, so the idea is that oil flows down, just like water flows down. So if you put oil on a slope, it's going to flow down. So sneha especially is what is the affection that flows down from a superior to an inferior, from the parents to the children. In fact, the word is used in relationship to Ajamil, how his affection went down to his youngest child, Narayana. So this is sneha. But in any case, whether it's the bond of affection between people or affection to this material world, another word that's used, of course, is sangha. Sangha means attachment, connection. So we have a strong connection. What is that? Kirtanadi Krishna Sya Mukta Sangha Param Rajit. So by Kirtanadi Mukta Sya Mukta Sangha, Kirtanadi, what is it? What's the third word? Kirtanadi Krishna Sya. I forgot Krishna. Kirtanadi Krishna Sya. Mukta Sangha Paramujit. So Mukta Sangha means to be freed from the Sangha, or attachment to this material world. Prasangama Janam Pasham Atmana Kavayo Vidu. Saiva Sadhusho Krito Moksha Dwarma Pavritam. This is from Kapila Dev. He says, is right? Yeah, Kapila Dev. He says, we have attachment to this material world, and to break that attachment, we get attached to the devotees. That's how we break the other attachment, by becoming attached to the devotees. So in any case, here we have two approaches to breaking this attachment to the material world, or the attachment of affection that keeps us bound up in this material world. The Kshatriya's way and the yogi's way. Now, of course, we'll have a few verses on this same point, so let me just talk about this one. Something else is coming to my mind. So again, the Kshatriya approach is just by force of will. That's how they'll do it. We see that some people have come to Krishna consciousness in that way, like a kind of a passionate approach to Krishna consciousness, especially in the beginning. Sometimes they're very determined and they're going to just stop everything. Or sometimes where devotees, I heard this in relationship to medicine, actually, in one lecture I listened to about Ayurveda, the Kaviraj Vaidya. He was saying that sometimes devotees have this idea that I'll just eat anything I want all year long and do anything I want and not take care of myself. And once a year, I'll go to India and go to one of these clinics, you know, and get an Ayurvedic flush, you know, get cleaned out once a year. So you call this a passionate approach. do anything I want all year, and once a year I'll go there. Some of them approach spiritual life that way too. Just a whole hum all year long, and once a year I'll go and circumambulate, go over down there, you know, go to Vrindavan and get cleaned up for the year, and the rest of the year just goof off. That's a passionate approach. So that's one of the big Kshatri approach. Get it over with once and for all. But the mystics, here it says the yoginam, so they do it by knowledge. So usually we think of gyanis, but gyanis and yogis kind of in the same category. So they have a more sattvic approach to the problem. Control the senses, control the mind by lowering the heat, lowering the fire by the way they live, and cultivating knowledge. By that transcendental knowledge, then they can break the attachment that comes. So this is, of course, not replying to that last example I was giving about, you know, once a year doing something. The yogi way, the yogic way is anudinam. This is the word that Rupa Goswami uses in Upadeshamrita. Anudinam means day after day after day. We often find also in the Bhagavatam, one should recite this Sayam Pratar, means morning and evening. So day after day, morning and evening, we do, not we jump around. Just like Prabhupada gave us for chanting japa, do whatever you do, do it every single day, at least, of course, 16 rounds. But even in the beginning, we tell people, start with something, and do it every day. So this is the yogic approach, do it every day. That's the approach to breaking this attachment. So here's more about this. It says in the next verse, indeed, the Supreme Lord must have created the bonds of affection. For such exalted saints as you have never stopped showing matchless friendship toward us ingrates, although it has never been properly reciprocated. So again, this idea that the bonds were created by God, that's why they're so tight. In Kunti Devi's prayer, the one that I quoted, Sneha Pashyam Imam Chindi Dridham Pandushu Vrishnishu. So in the beginning of the verse, he says, Ata Vishvesha Vishvatman Vishvamurtir Swakeshu Me. Oh, here we go. Yeah, I'm sorry, my Sanskrit is merged together here. Vishvamurtir Swakeshu Me. So she says, she addresses Krishna, before she asks him to cut her bonds of affection, she addresses him as, O Lord of the universe, O soul of the universe, O form of the personality, O personality of the form of the universe. Please, therefore, sever my tie of affection for my kinsmen, the Pandavas and the Vrishnis. So she's pointing out his power. He has the power. He created this bond. It's so powerful. So you have the power to break it because you're the Lord of the universe, the soul of the universe, the personality of the form of the universe. So you have universal power. That's how much power you have. And this bond of affection is so strong that only you, with your great power, can break it. So in here, Vasudeva says he's an ingrate because he's never reciprocated the loving affection. Actually, it's interesting. He calls Nanda Maharaj a great saint. So he's ordinary Vaishya. He's a king of a cowherd village. Usually the saints are all the sages arriving. They're generally addressed as saints. But here Vasudeva is calling Nanda a saint, Sattamai. So Sattama, the greatest of these saints. Compliment he's paying to Nanda Maharaj. So the next verse. Previously, my dear brother, we did nothing to benefit you because we were unable to. And even now that you are present before us, our eyes are so blinded by the intoxication of material good fortune that we continue to ignore you. And the final verse, O most respectful one, may a person who wants the highest benefit in life never gain kingly opulence, for it leaves him blind to the needs of his own family and friends. So Vasudeva is decrying wealth, because wealth is, now there's a reference here, actually in the purport, quoting Nanda Maharaj speaking to Navakuvra and Manigriva. So he mentions three of the four things. Janmaishwarya Shruta Tribir Edamana Nibakuma Naivar Hatya Vidatum Vai Tvama Kinchana Gochara. So Kundi Devi, she says that she lists
the four things that are considered to be the results of pious activities. Janma, Aishwarya, Shruta, and Shri. So Janma means a good birth. Aishwarya means wealth or opulence. Shruta means knowledge. And Shri means beauty. So a good, handsome body, beautiful body. So Nanda Maharaj, he says that when you have Aishwarya, then you buy the other three. Even these days, you can buy the beauty. I mean, anyways, people have plastic surgery after plastic surgery to keep themselves young. I know these days on the internet, these ads, they pop up all over, isn't it? I'm sure you're probably seeing it as I am, all these before, after, you know. You won't believe this lady is 65 years old. You know? She looks like she's 30 or something. Here's the magic formula. So with money, you can keep it going for a while, at least. It doesn't last forever. So that's why money is considered to be the worst. You have to be careful of wealth, because with wealth, you can do everything. You have no responsibility. They have there's a class of society called the trustees, trustee babies. That means people that are born with trusts. They never had to work a day in their life. They went to the best schools and lived in opulence their whole life. They don't have to work. Jet setters, we also call them, right? They fly here, fly there, go to Monte Carlo one weekend and go, you know, to wherever you want to go next weekend. That's all they do. No responsibility, just spending dad's money. So, and what do they, you know, they tend not to have the highest ideals, these kinds of people. Spoil their whole lives. What is life to them? Just enjoy. That's all they want to do. Just like Nalakuva and Munigriva, their father's the treasure of the demigod, so limitless wealth. And of course, how they're enjoying is extremely high level. And what happened? They just lost control. They lost all sense of decency. Because they had money, they could do anything they wanted to do. So it's dangerous, actually. I heard recently there was a big lottery. You may have heard this. I don't know what it was, hundreds of millions of dollars. So sometimes I think, what would happen if I had that much money? I think immediately I'd want to give it away, because what anxiety would come with that? It'd be so much anxiety how to manage that much money. And everybody in the world, of course, would want your money. Everybody you ever knew in your whole life would be asking you for some of it. So just give it all to Krishna. You don't have to worry about it. And of course, then there's a temptation of, wow, now I can get this and that and this and that, and opulence can come. So many material desires can spring up. Probably ones you never thought you ever had will spring up. So it's dangerous. So Nanda Maharaj, he's saying, I was wealthy, and then I didn't reciprocate with my friends. You offered me so much love and friendship, but I didn't reciprocate with you properly. Of course, at first he says that I couldn't because I was locked up in jail, so what could I do? But now that I'm free and I'm living, you know, in opulence, now I'm also not taking care of my friends. So there's a nice sentiment, of course. When we have good fortune, we should share the good fortune. The first desire, of course, of devotees, when I get something, then share it with others. Of course, this is the devotee's heart. Generosity. It's like Prabhupada himself, he's so generous. I'm always amazed, I think, because I'm quite a kind of reclusive myself, so I like my space and I protect it. So Prabhupada was so open, it's amazing, especially in the early days. You know, this elderly, respectable gentleman, and just people just popping in on him, basically, any time, practically, the day or night. Because he was burning within him the desire to make people Krishna conscious. If they didn't come to him, he'd go to them. I love these stories where Prabhupada would wake up his servants in the middle of the night and start preaching to them. He'd get inspired by something he was translating, and you know, they'd be rubbing their eyes. Probably so fired up, preaching something from the Bhagavatam. That was, of course, it was natural, it was spontaneous. His generosity of giving of himself. He gave everything of himself. He gave his whole life to others. So this is a nice lesson example for us to try to share. Whatever we have, try to share for the benefit of the world. Lord Chaitanya gave us this order, actually, to work for the benefit of others, try to help others. So Nanda Maharaj is feeling some sense in his humility that I didn't give enough. I should have given more. And now
It's almost like he's saying, thank you for staying. Thank you for being my friend still, even though I didn't reciprocate all the love that you've given me. So I'll stop here. I'll just read the last verse. O most respectful one, may a person who wants the highest benefit in life never gain kingly opulence, for it leaves him blind to the needs of his own family and friends. Questions, comments? Pran Govinda Prabhu?
Mentioning about Nal Kubar and Manigrid. So the question raised by Sanatana Goswami Pad in his own commentary on Dasami Tippani, that why did Narad Muni, seeing their such a wretched condition, and he's very close friend with Kubera, Narad Muni, that's why he had a little extra affection for his children. So then why didn't he give a life of a poverty? Or animal, why tree? that was the question Sanatana Goswami Pad put it, and then he's answering. Because Narad Muni is such a merciful, compassionate, that he realized that the future birth is constitute of the previous consciousness. Mm-hmm. So it maintains. So even if Narad Muni gives him four, or make them poor, or give them new life for a poverty, then they will be striving to become rich again. And that idea will not go away. And even if he gave him animal life, they could have got animal life, there will be after sense gratification. So he thought for a moment that tree body is the most appropriate, that they won't be able to do anything except drinking through lead.
They won't be able to go anywhere.
Yeah. Just because of mercy.
And of course, he put him in Krishna's courtyard, Nanda Maharaj's courtyard.
Because they were crying and praying, they seeing that themselves is like transforming into a tree. When they cried desperately, then Narad Muni immediately thought that Krishna is coming, so he gave him that place where they could literally see the whole pastime.
May Narad Muni bless us in that way. Huh? Being a tree doesn't sound so good, but if that's the result in the end. Yes, Madam Mohan Prabhu.
I was wondering if we could consider this idea with Vasudev and Nanda Maharaj. He knows that Vasudev, he was Krishna's parent, but then Nanda Maharaj raised him. So he's probably aware of the love that Nanda Maharaj has, and he's also maybe more gyan Vasudev. So these sacrifices, they're like rituals that you do dutifully, you know, in society. But Nanda Maharaj has this love for Krishna, so I think that aspect was in what he was feeling. You know, the little bit of, what we call that, jnana mistra, that he had more awareness of Krishna. Krishna appeared as four-handed Vishnu at first to Vasudeva. So His heart, in a type of humility, of admiration of Nanda Maharaj's advanced status of love.
Raghavankapu?
You made a comment that the method for giving up our material affection, mundane affection, is by cultivating affection for the devotees. Yet, Kunti Devi, did she see her relatives as devotees, or did she just see them as a byproduct of her, or herself a byproduct of their bodies?
Yeah, I was reading the purport to her verse, actually. There are two verses together. Now, the verse that I mentioned was, that, of course, break my tie of affection. The next one is, O Lord of the Madhu, as the Ganges forever flows to the sea without hindrance, let my attraction be constantly drawn unto you without being diverted to anyone else. You can see how the two go together.
So in the purport, especially the second one, it's quite interesting actually. First Prabhupada says, well, what does he say? I kind of... First he says, I'm missing, I guess I didn't get that. Anyway, Prabhupada says it's okay because she was attached to devotees of Krishna. But she's thinking that the attachment isn't about that. It's about skin, which is the way Prabhupada talks about it in the purport. It's the attachment of skin. So that's her move that, you know, it's kind of, Prabhupada kind of goes back and forth in the purport where you think, well, is Prabhupada saying that family affection is okay? It seems like he's saying it here, but then later, it seems like he's not saying it. He's saying that the Kunti Devi's affection was really okay because it was for devotees of Krishna. So that this seems to be the point. That you, even if it's your family, you have to see them as devotees of Krishna. And Prabhupada, I think it's at the end of the purport. If I can. Where he says, when Kunti Devi wanted to cut off the tie of family affection, she meant to cut off the relation of the skin. Sometimes service to the devotee is more valuable than service to the Lord. But here the affection of Kunti Devi for the Pandavas and the Vrishnis was due to family relation. This tie of affection in terms of material relation in the is the relation of Maya, because the relations of the body and the mind are due to the influence of the external energy. So now it seems to, you know, Prabhupada is saying, now this is, of course, this comes up over and over in the Bhagavatam, where we get this decrying of family affection, and we always want to say, well, it's for non-devotees. But it really, it seems that Prabhupada is saying here that if the affection is based on the body, in other words, because this is my child, I love, then that's not transcendental. Now, Prabhupada does talk about it as natural, but at the same time, it's not actually transcendental, because transcendental means you're completely above the body. Now, the affection is there, and of course, naturally, as we live in this material world, if you don't have that affection, then something's wrong with you. But still, from the highest perspective, as Prabhupada is saying here, if the affection is because of a family tie, then that affection is being driven by Maya, is what Prabhupada is saying here in this purport. So it's really quite a heavy thing, when you think about it. I mean, think, how do you apply that in your life? Well, I think we don't exactly. Unless you're, but now one way, of course, what Prabhupada did was he left home, was at a certain stage. This whole discussion has brought a curious thought to me. That's something I've been thinking about, saying, are there grandfathers in Vedic culture? Are there any Brahmin grandfathers? Or did they all leave home? Supposed to leave home at 50? Unless the kids are all grown up by then, maybe. But kind of have this idea there aren't any grandpas around. They're all, where's grandpa? Oh, he's living in the forest. Hare Krishna, everyone.
It's interesting this discussion is going on because I've been thinking about this myself. Affection between devotees, we talk about that. Oh, can you hear me now? So affection between devotees, if we look at ourselves sitting in this room right now, at least I am an aspiring devotee, but if I consider who I am, I'm just cells, a bag of cells, of bone, mucus, flesh, blood, and so is everybody else here. And so, it seems like there is a perpetual illusion. I walk around, I leave this temple, I'm driving my car, I'm perpetually an illusion about who I am. Because, really, I'm not this body, in essence. And so when I have affection for others, even the devotees, I'm seeing their body. You know, I'm seeing you sitting on that Vyasasana. This is Nagaraj Prabhu. But this is not Nagaraj Prabhu. I don't really see you. And so, this is far out.
Yeah, well, it applies not only to us living, but even Prabhupada. What does his form look like now? You know, we worship this as Prabhupada's eternal form, that we'll always remember him. But he's not in this form anymore. So, I don't know, it's all beyond me. I don't know how it works.
So I think there is this tension between these two concepts.
Yeah, as long as we're in the material world in these bodies, that kind of thing is going to be there. Even in Prabhupada's interactions, Prabhupada would speak of himself as an Indian sometimes.
course, he's not an Indian, but he would sometimes speak that way. And he did, he had, you know, the demeanor of an Indian in many ways. He was even concerned about Indian politics more than American politics, so kind of showed that side of things. So it's like he was living in this world. It seems like the main point is, yes, we're not completely transcendental. Even when you are transcendental, you still act as if you're part of this world. So the main point really is to just use everything in relationship to Krishna. Now, as far as association with devotees, of course, especially in our beginning stage, well, not only in our beginning stage, throughout our progress in Krishna consciousness, in the beginning, we really need that association because, as Prabhupada says, people have the same interest, they group together and they get more energy from that and assistance and so on. That cooperation is there, so it's important for us because we're people in conditioned consciousness, but we're all doing the same thing. We're trying to get out of that conditioned consciousness. So naturally, we're going to see materially because that's the way we see. But then again, if you get to the highest level, we heard that the other day we were listening to the remembrances, and I think it was Radha Swami was talking about Prabhupada meeting Akinchana Krishnadas Babaji, and what, you know, when they met together, how ecstatic it was to see these two liberated souls interacting, loving each other so much. So they also want sadhu sangha, they want devotee association. Even if you're on a completely liberated platform, seeing Krishna at every moment, still those you love, you have a special affection for other devotees. So this, somehow that's there, that's taken into account, that we have special affection for devotees because they are serving Krishna. Namaste, Prabhu.
It seems to me, you know, like Hari Prayana Prabhu's made an analysis, it seems that, you know, when the affection develops, in my experience, it's based upon the quality, the emotional qualities that a devotee has, you know, and that's what's so attractive. And, you know, the devotee's experiencing bliss is obvious, you know, just from looking at his face. You know,
so that's higher than being attracted to their body.
Yeah.
Well, we're not talking about being attracted to bodies exactly.
No, but
we see the person as that's how we see people.
And you know, recovering. Being fully engaged in Krishna services, there's many qualities that manifest that are just endearing to the heart. You know, that's just a normal thing, you know, for affection to be there. Just even like Prabhupada, because he was so exalted, everybody loved him, you know. And there was one morning walk in Los Angeles on Venice Beach where there was a wide array of participants in the morning walk. There were university professors, there were parents, there were devotees, and you know, at the end of the walk, I can't remember who it was that was Prabhupada's servant, but he's, you know, but everyone was just so happy at the end of the walk. And then the servant said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, you know, everyone loves you. And then Prabhupada's response, yes, and I love everybody.
Yeah.
You know, and that's like, you know, kind of the manifestation of the high level of Krishna consciousness is that, that modality is there, and then that just, you know, people just become attracted to it. And
is that Rupa Bhatti back there? Yes. Hare Krishna.
I was really appreciating all the devotees' remarks at John Masami Prabhu at the end there also just now. What it made me think of the difference when we're talking like bodily form, attachment to the body. So there's two different things I think we're associating. One is the word affection, and as Prabhu was saying, love and affection, and that's real. The other thing is we're personalist, we're not impersonalist. Very important to remember that.
Mm-hmm.
So we do engage in affectionate dealings with form because they're standing in front of us right there. We're not asking Krishna to remove attachment to form, per se. So sometimes we're saying body, or there's body. Body means form. Like you're saying, the devotees, our bodies are, we see, if we say the temple, the Lord residing in the heart. So there's so many different ways. You take a great soul who's asking for a break of attachment to her family, be more absorbed in Krishna. I think the larger picture is the wanting to be in that association with Krishna. We all have families like, oh, you know, I got stuck between my son and his wife and taking sides and, oh my God, the yada, and could I just focus on Krishna? You know, in maybe the most simplest way of looking at that, sometimes we can overanalyze, well, doesn't mean we have to give up all attachment, all forms. No, the personalist. We give as much affection as we can. The soul is residing in a particular form, whether it's plant or animal or human form. But ultimately, yes, we feel that weight. It's like, okay, Krishna, it's Krishna. So, but I wanted to remind us all that yes, form is very important for us as personalists. Mm-hmm. We don't want to merge, give up all affection, and merge into a void.
Thank you. Of course, devotees' forms are made of prasadam too. So, in that sense, we're looking at something spiritual.
In that purport that you're reading from Queen Kunti, I thought the Prabhupada, when he said the attachment should be via media, the super soul. So I remember going back over that a couple times that, so attachment instead of to the flesh, it has to be established via media, the super soul. So just like when Lord Chaitanya says, ready to offer all respects to others. You know, that I always thought the all respects when you bring it up to the spiritual platform, see the person, deal with them as the spirit, soul, part and parcel of Krishna, as opposed to the body. You know, Krishna's always big on that. Never there was a time that didn't exist. You know, that was just that.
Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.